Today is a special Sunday. Originally, it was supposed to be our student missions report Sunday. But due to the quarantine, we've rescheduled all of our student mission trips to next summer. But as a leadership team here at the church, we still wanted to celebrate our student voices this Sunday. And so we're doing something a little different. We have a message that's going to be delivered in three parts by three of our students. And then we have a fourth student that's going to do a scripture reading ahead of time as we prepare for the message. So today's sermon is being brought to you first by Jeremiah Glavin, a senior graduating from Wilmington Christian School this year. He'll be doing the scripture reading. He'll be followed by Rebecca Anderson, a junior going into 12th grade at Wilmington Christian School, who will give part one of our message today, Growing in God. She'll be followed by Megan Ryle, another senior who's graduating from Mount Pleasant High School this year. She'll be giving part two of our message, Growing in God. And the conclusion will be brought by Ben Murray, a senior graduating from Concord High School, who will wrap up the message. Will you join me as we listen to our students dive into the Word of God this morning?
Luke 2:41 to 52. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Anderson. I'm going to be a senior at Wilmington Christian School, and I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about wisdom and stature. Now, when I was a kid, a really big fear of mine was the possibility of getting left behind or lost. If I was at the grocery store and all of a sudden I didn't see my mom in the aisle, I would freak out and run to try to find her. Fortunately, my parents never left me behind. My brothers, on the other hand, now that's a different story. Stephen, my brother that's the one after me, one time we were at a nursing home and we were playing games with the residents, and to my mom's defense, we had a bunch of other kids with us that she was watching, and so we went to leave and we got up to the parking lot only to realize that Stephen was missing. Fortunately, the lady from the nursing home came running out bringing a crying Stephen with her. Stephen was very scarred from that incident and he still talks about it to this day. My other brother, Jacob, doesn't really remember the time that he got left behind, but my parents were going into the hotel at the DoubleTree, and they left Jacob in the car. And that time, it was my dad's responsibility, so he was the one who left Jacob. So that's why I like to say that I'm the favorite child, because I never got left behind. Now, this fits in perfectly with our passage today, because we're talking about how Jesus got left behind. Now, Jesus didn't freak out or become anxious or run to find his family like many of us might have, but instead, he knew that he had a different purpose. He was called to follow his heavenly Father instead. Jesus chose to go to a place where he would be able to grow his faith. And when his parents found him, they found him in the temple courts. When Jesus was finally found, his family says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is from Luke 2:52. In the King James Version, the word grew is replaced with the word increased. Grew is a perfectly good word to use in this passage, but I feel like the word increased shows more of an imagery behind this story. So Jesus was born into humanity, yet this didn't make him any less divine. He was fully God at this time, but he was also fully man and learning things as a man would. He was increasing physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially. This is why I like the word increased, because it's not that Jesus became any less when he came to earth, but he actually became more. Similarly, in our own lives, there's a Christian saying that goes, if you aren't moving forward in your faith, then you're moving backwards. This is another reason I like the word increased, because this phrase, as common as it is so true. If we aren't moving forward in our faith and we aren't growing in our relationship with God, we're just going to end up moving backwards. There is no middle ground. Jesus' example is the perfect model about how we can be increasing. The verse says that he increased in wisdom and stature. Now let's break down those two words. First, what does it mean to grow in wisdom? Let's define wisdom. By taking a simple Google search, the dictionary popped up and it told me that the definition of wisdom is the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So that means that wisdom isn't just having the knowledge, it's building on your knowledge and taking action in what you now know. So now that we know what wisdom is, we can answer the question, how do we apply it? And how do we grow in wisdom? We grow in wisdom by creating habits that will make us more knowledgeable to sit under others' teachings. Jesus did just this in the temple courts when he sat under the top religious leaders and asked them many questions. He didn't just sit and listen and take in the information, he also asked questions. He also didn't just try to teach himself. He learned from other people that were more knowledgeable and had more experience from him. When you're first learning how to drive, what do? You normally start by going and taking a course. And this course teaches you things like the rules of the road and how to actually maneuver a car. But after 6 weeks, are you fully knowledgeable? No. In Delaware, the next step is taking 6 months to drive with your parents. I know that during this point, when I had to drive for 6 months with my parents, I didn't exactly like it. I found it very frustrating when I would be driving and my parents would constantly be telling me what to do differently and how to improve, and it was really driving me up a wall. But I was so grateful after those first 6 months were over, when then I could drive by myself, that I had those experiences with my parents. Because I would have had no idea what I was doing on the road if I hadn't first had that time to drive with them. So that was not to bash my parents. I'm very thankful that they taught me how to drive. But it's the same way with growing in wisdom. We can't just learn it all on our own. We need other people to help us, and through them helping and teaching us, we're also gaining our own experience. So that way, we can read the Bible on our own and learn on our own, but it's also great to have other people to help us. Now, some of the ways that we can grow in wisdom is not just by reading the Bible on our own and trying to come to a conclusion, but it's by being actively involved in a Bible-believing church and a small group that prioritizes God's word over what secular culture has to say. It's people that will speak truth into us. Now let's talk about growing in stature. When I heard the word stature, I thought of growing physically in height, and some of you might think that too, but it also can refer to how much people respect us and our reputation. Our reputation is so important as followers of Christ. So many times our reputation as Christians is tarnished by things that other Christians have said and done. In the Great Commission, Jesus calls us to make disciples of all nations. Non-believers aren't just going to follow God because we tell them that they need to, or because we say, you're going to go to hell if you won't. They need to see a change and a difference in those who are Christians. So in your own life, do people in your workplace, your neighbors, your friends, your family, do they experience you as a Christ follower? Do you show them that you love Christ? Is your reputation showing that Christ is working in your life? Do you let your comfort, your political beliefs, your pride, your opinions, your sinful choices keep you from growing in stature? The Bible was given to us by God. God's word is a manual for our life. And God inspired every word that was written in the Bible through men. So when Luke decided to write this story about, include this story in the Bible about how Jesus was a boy and this experience where he was left at the temple, there's a reason that it was in the Bible, and that's something that we should pay attention to. What are some things that you can do this week to grow in wisdom? I know for me, one of the ways that I've been trying to gain more wisdom is by listening to podcasts during a time where otherwise I would just be mindlessly listening to music or something else that wasn't really filling me up spiritually. How also can you grow in stature? What are ways that you can show your love for Christ? The answers to these questions will fulfill the second half of the verse, that Jesus found favor with God and man.
What's up, Brandywine family? I'm Megan. I'm obviously a senior. I went to Mount Pleasant High School all 4 years of my high school career. I've been going to this church since I was in kindergarten, started in Miss Murray's class. Shout out Miss Murray for starting it all. And I'm the part two of the sermon, and I'm going to be talking about growing in our relationship with God. And I'm still going to be basing off what I'm talking about off of Luke 2:52. And to reiterate, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So to start off, I just kind of want to like talk about what I think growing in a relationship with God is. And for me, I believe that growing in a relationship with God is actively seeking his counsel and guidance through prayer and the studying of his word. In my life, I've had multiple people that have shown this to me so that I have an example to lead that out. And to name a few, starting with my parents, of course, my mom and dad were missionaries in Africa and Haiti. And so I was adopted from Haiti, and that in the early stages of my life clearly showed how they were actively seeking his guidance through how they were serving him to other people and through prayer. Also with my grandfather, who Pastor Ryle was a pastor for many, many years, and going to different churches with him and seeing him preach out what the words that God had given him for that Sunday and what he had studied, and seeing him work hard to really know what he was talking about when preaching to people, was very valuable to me. Also, of course, with my two small group leaders, have been such a huge part of my life and just showing me like how hard they've worked to think about what they talk to us about, and like obviously that does a lot of studying for them, which also helps them grow in their relationship with God because they put in that time. And like finally, my two interns in the youth group, Zach Hayes and Elijah Cunningham, have been such a big part of showing me what growing in God is. And seeing Zach for many years, one being my friend and then one becoming a leader, and showing how valuable the Bible is to him and God is to him to make guidance in his decisions and what he's going to do with his life. And Elijah, just haven't known him as long, but like having conversations with him on my days off of school, going into the office with him and Melissa and just getting their guidance on like life and like what I should do with it. And definitely valuing those people in my life to really help guide me and help grow my relationship in God, which is what I deeply think for me personally is so important, is I believe that people and the examples you have in your life are going to help you grow your relationship in God. So to grow your relationship with God, you really need to like just get to know God in general. And you have to think about, how do you get to know a person? For me, when I'm getting to know a person, I want to know about their family. I want to know about their past and like their likes and their disinterest and their everything that kind of makes them tick. And for us, God gave us the Bible for that, to really understand who He is and really understand Him. And for me, it's also important. I'm someone that loves to talk, and I have to talk to people. And to do that with God is through prayer. And prayer is so valuable, because that is your communication with God, and that's when you get to talk to God and really build your relationship through that too. And you just really got to spend that time with God and spend time with Him and like in the Bible and in prayer. And that's what really, and of course that's what it takes to get to know a person. And like, it just is the same way to get to know God. And I think that's really important for us to understand. And I think when we think about Jesus and Jesus being so knowledgeable as a 12-year-old, about God and about the Bible, is because He is our main example of how we should grow our relationship with God. He is the main example that we can have, because He spent so much time with God and like thinking and talking to God and reading scripture and really just like putting in the time with God, hence why He was so knowledgeable. And at 12 years old, that was only 6 years ago for me. And I'm still not nearly as knowledgeable, and probably will never be as knowledgeable as Jesus was at 12. But that just shows that like I have work to do still, and like that I have time to still put in, which is like very important for us all to learn. I think it's just like okay that we're all at different levels, like just like when we're in school, like we might be in the same grade, but that doesn't mean we're all in the same level of learning. And I feel like that's the same way with Christianity. It's like we're all the same religion, we all believe in the same thing, but we're all in our different walk with God. And I think that's very important for us to understand when we're trying to grow our relationship with God, is not to compare ourselves to other people and not to compare our faith to other people's, because it's all individually our own. And it's important for us to understand that that is part of growing in our relationship with God, is seeing that difference and believing that that difference is okay, and that God, he gets where you are, He hears you, and He's listening, and you will get to the place you want to be with Him, and that just takes time. So now I want to read 1 Timothy 4:12-15 together, and it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders land their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely, preserving them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers." Jesus, when he was younger, was a great example of this. He was always living out, like in the temple, he was living out what he was learning from God and what he was reading in scripture. And I think it's very important for kids my age and younger to understand that age is, like, something I've learned is age is just a number. I've met so many young kids in BBS that are just so knowledgeable about the Bible and so knowledgeable about God and can teach me things, and also my elders that I look up to and I respect because they've lived through life. And everyone, I feel like, can be so knowledgeable in something, and that everyone has something to offer. So Jesus was just very good at that because of the time he spent. And so I believe that the more time I spend in the Bible and in prayer, that I'm going to be just as knowledgeable, and I'm going to learn just as much as I need to learn, or that what God wants me to learn. And I think it's just very important for my generation to understand that when we want to make a true impact on our lives and then on our world, we really need to first take the time to understand what God is saying to us and get that wisdom from Him and really have that in our soul to help make our decisions out in the world and out in the life to make an impact that I know we can make. So thank you. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word and that you gave it to us to bring us closer to you and to teach us. And I thank you for our time that we get to spend with you and the time that you give to us to grow closer with you also. And as always, I pray for our world and I pray for our leaders, and that your hand is just upon all of their lives and to make the decisions that you want to be made. And I pray for our congregation to stay healthy and happy and to grow in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. My name is Ben Murray, and I just graduated from Concord High School. Rebecca talked about wisdom and stature, Megan talked about our relationship with God, and I will be finishing off this passage by explaining what it means to grow in relationships with others. After Jesus' parents find him in the temple and they leave for Nazareth, Luke 2:52 tells us, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." When looking at this verse, we can pretty much break it into three parts and go in order that way. First, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. All of the adults in the temple were blown away by the wisdom he possessed for being so young. Then, because of this wisdom and stature, he was able to grow in favor with God. Jesus was subject to the normal process of human growth, intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. He would have been like any other teen, which means he had to grow in favor of God just like any other human. Then, because of his wisdom and favor with God, he was better suited to grow in favor with men. Jesus probably would have had a lot of friends because of how he was so loving, kind, and wise. He literally would have been the perfect friend. However, being perfect is a quality that would have repelled friends from him as well, if they thought maybe he would judge them or be too good for them. But Jesus would have wanted to have meaningful relationships with anyone, just like God wants us to have meaningful relationships with other people. We all spend time with friends, family, classmates, teammates, coworkers, and other people in our community. But healthy relationships can be difficult. We don't always get along with everyone, and we have to balance our needs with the needs of others. Relationships are important because they can help us to find our purpose in the world. Now, what does it mean to grow in relationship with others? We should look to grow in relationships with people who will encourage us to grow in our relationship with God as well. God wants us to have meaningful relationships, but He wants to be a part of them. 1 John 4:7-8 say, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Basically, love comes from God, so if you love, you know God. Chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 go on to say, "Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us." Though we have heard the command, "love one another," before, John is clarifying that we can show God by our love. So three things. One, love is from God. Two, love is evidence that a person is born of God. And three, love demonstrates that you know God. A few years ago, I went on my first missions trip to Detroit, Michigan. I was pretty nervous, didn't know what to expect, and we were staying in a church with people I had never met. However, upon entering the church, the people greeted us in a way I will never forget. They came up to each one of us individually, gave us a hug, and said, "God loves you, and so do I." They had never met us and didn't know any of our pasts, yet they told us they loved us just because they know God does. This is truly what it looks like to know God and demonstrate His love in your community. Upon this interaction, a sense of peace came over me because I knew that even though I had never met these people, they cared about me and wanted to connect with me. Ever since then, it has been so much easier for me to connect with other people and gain new relationships because I know we all have at least one thing in common, and that's that God loves us all. Whether you just smile at someone passing by, hold a door open for them, or ask to pray for them, you can show God's love and grow in relationships with others. Another example of gaining new relationships by showing God's love is when I started working at a pool last summer. I was lifeguarding, and there was this kid named Justin who I always thought was kind to everyone, and he seemed very genuine. He never got upset with anybody who was upset with him, and I was just always wondering, like, is this kid a Christian? Like, I wonder if he is. So one day I went up to him and I asked him, I was like, "Hey Justin, like, are you a believer? Like it seems like you are." And he said that he was, and he told me that he could recognize that I was too by the way that we were always kind to everyone, whether they being cranky, upset, or bossy or anything. And I just think that was pretty cool that we were able to connect with one another by showing God's love to other people and being a light for Him. And Justin is one of my good friends now, and I'm glad that I met him. So guys, if you want new friends, you gotta show God's love. Thank you.